Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. We're a couple minutes late. We're blaming Harlan this time. I'm sure he's already put in the chat that it was my fault, but this one really was Harlan's fault. So, Richie, 2 weeks from tonight, again, we'll probably, I don't know how coherent we'll be. My parents are coming, though, so, like, hopefully I keep it somewhat together, but 2 weeks from tonight, excited, man. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but how you feeling? We're only a week away from just some kind of college football, but 2 weeks from tonight, FSU, LSU, excited to get after it.
Yeah, I can't get into all the preseason NFL nonsense. Like, it's fun. Baker Mayfield, you're terrible. Kyle Trask, you suck. Just give me a Caleb Williams or Drake May if you're a Bucks fan. But yeah, man, I'm super excited. You know, 1 week from college football, 2 weeks from LSU versus Florida State. We are having a massive tailgate. Walking distance right to Camping World Stadium, same place where we had it for the Oklahoma Cheez-It Bowl. Man, I am so excited. I cannot wait for everything that we have going on. It's just going to be a blast. And yeah, we have made it, right? We're not there quite yet, but we've basically made it, TJ.
Yeah. Time to what did Gene used to say? You know, buckle up the chin straps and lace up the cleats, all those things.
Yeah, toe is about to meet leather.
Yeah, all the cliches that Decker Hoff used to say. 7:30, 2 weeks from tonight. I might be finished off my last drink at this point. My last drink at the tailgate, and then pour one for the road, and then keep on going. So, all right, let's get after it. We're going to talk about some recruiting. We're going to talk a little bit about the scrimmage that happened today, some depth chart thoughts from there, and then maybe a little bit. We did some LSU talk last week. We probably won't go as deep. Talk a little bit about what concerns you, what you're confident about against LSU, a little conference realignment, and then we're going to rank how we see this schedule kind of lining up. Toughest to weakest or weakest to toughest. We'll figure that out as we go. But let's talk recruiting first and foremost. Richie, we have reached a point, and I saw Josh Pate do a pretty good analysis on this. I might have even included it in a video. But I saw Josh Pate do a pretty good analysis on this where he said, every time your team loses out on a recruit, if the first thing that you do is blame NIL, that there's a problem with you, right? Like you're just behind the times. You don't understand how college football recruiting works in today's day and age. Well, anyway, so a lot of people are upset because Florida State's NIL, shout out to Battle's End. If you're not a member, go sign up. But a lot of people are very upset with how Florida State's been recruiting recently, and it seems like things may continue to trend really, really well for the Seminoles. Might have some good news coming this weekend. We'll talk about a certain prospect that looks like he's trending toward the Noles. But Richie, thoughts on the Florida State's NIL, other programs whining about that, other programs complaining about that? Let's just start there as a good kind of precursor for tonight.
Yeah, for me, man, when other programs and the insiders of those programs and the fans of those programs, when they're complaining about your NIL, that's a great place to be because that means you're doing something right. Shout out Ingram Smith, the Battle's End, even Rising Spear, they're doing a lot of great work as well. It's just a great place to be if you're a Florida State fan. And if you're a booster, awesome. Also give to the Battle's End because Jared Verse, Trey Benson, Jordan Travis, these guys probably don't come back if this was the college football landscape of 5 years ago, right? Yeah. They're not here. And they are because they are able to be paid legally by the Battle's End. And I think it's a huge deal for Florida State. And it's a big deal for this class. You know, we had the pleasure of watching a lot of really awesome highlights of Cam Davis just treating guys like, you know, pylons and KJ Bolden with this pick six saying, I'm that guy. Like that's what the Battle's End is doing for Florida State. And yeah, it's a huge deal. If you're a Florida State fan, sign up for the Battle's End, sign up for Rising Spear, sign up for any collective we have, because it is making a difference in recruiting. And Florida State, I'm so excited where we're at right now. With Florida State has a top five class if you're looking at the 247 composite, and a lot of high quality players, and not just high quality players, but five star plus guys. If you go to the On3 side, Shout out Josh Newberg. There's just a lot of good things going on for Florida State right now, and NIL is a big part of it, TJ.
Yeah, the what those guys are doing, and yeah, Richie's spot on. Like, if you're not a booster, you know, the two truthfully do go hand in hand with both NIL and being a booster, supporting both our organization and the athletes that are there. But yeah, it's a pretty ridiculous time right now in college football. I don't know that it's quite the Wild Wild West anymore like it was, but I do think that you're still able to do some things and, you know, kind of make your own way at this point. Richie, I didn't even notice that we kind of matched tonight, so shout out to us for that. But yeah, I, you know, the only kind of blue we'll talk about on here. So I think that I try to be somewhat careful with what it is, but I mean, we all know what the game is at this point. And if teams aren't willing to be competitive in this landscape, then they're just that. They're not going to be competitive in this landscape. And people forget and people wonder, like, oh man, how's Florida State recruiting like this? And they really just forget, like, the last 5 to 6 years, maybe they're new college football fans. Maybe they're, you know, the Michigan 247 guy. Maybe he's just kind of, maybe he's got amnesia, or maybe he's new to covering the sport. But this is how Florida State recruited for many, many, many years. It was a shock when Florida State started to not be in the top five year after year after year after year when Jimbo was gone. And so, yeah, Florida State continuing to compete and compete at that highest level in recruiting is pretty normal. So, all right, Zaquan Patterson's the guy that we're going to talk about here just a little bit. Another top 100 DB. I think the fourth best safety in the country based on, you know, what rankings you're looking at, where you're kind of getting that metric at. But really, really impressive kid. Somebody that people weren't really talking about Florida State a ton. I think Florida State fans always felt like, hey, man, if he can extend it out, if he can go till closer to signing day, maybe we would have a chance there. It seems like the smoke has picked up around Florida State. Michigan insiders seem to like our chances. Auburn insiders seem to like our chances. Miami insiders seem to like our chances. And Zach Blostein over at Knowles 247 seems to like where we sit as well. And we said this on another video, but Florida State already having KJ Bolden and Charles Lester. They're the only program in the country that has two top 20 guys that are both DBs. So they're the only program in the country right now. Alabama doesn't have it. Auburn doesn't have it. Georgia, Florida, LSU. Nobody, you know, all these DBUs out there. Nobody else has two guys in the top 20 that are defensive backs currently committed to their program. If Florida State's able to go out and land another top 100 guy in Patterson, he's a five-star on Rivals, and then down the road, if they're able to get Jamari Howard, another top 70 player, that will be one of the most ridiculous DB hauls of all time. You'd have four top 10 DBs in your class, but really one of the greatest, I mean, probably the best defensive back class that Florida State's ever had. It will be the best defensive back class of this season. There's a long way to go. You need to get two of them to commit to. You need to sign all four of them. But the Noles seem to be trending well for Zaquan Patterson based on everything that seems to be out there. We've dropped some news and some notes in our Discord. We've tried to project where we think things end up. But right now, Florida State and Pat Surtain are really looking to add to that DB room, Richie, and really make it one of the best in the country.
Yeah, man. And shout out Pat Surtain, right? Like, he just got to Florida State, got to Tallahassee, and he's instantly making a name for himself on the recruiting trail, which I think we kind of expected, but not quite to this level. But if you get Patterson, which things seem to be trending that way, if you consider all sources, you know, it's just a huge deal. And at Florida State, you expect to recruit very highly rated defensive backs, right? That's, you know, the expectation, but not quite to this level. You know, Alabama does this very well. Georgia recruits anybody they want except KJ Bolden. And there's a lot of players that you know, could go to Miami, could go to Florida, could go to Florida State. And I think Florida State and Mike Norvell, what they're doing right now, they're doing a great job of keeping the top-end talent home, which is something we've not seen. You know, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, you name it. They've all came into this state and taken whoever they wanted recently. But I think the KJ Bolden commitment is a huge deal for Patterson. And I think that's probably what's giving Florida State the edge right now. Like you said, TJ, this is going to be a December decision, right? Wherever he commits, that's great. But it's going to be a December decision. If Florida State has a season that we think they're going to have, I think he's in our class.
Interesting to see the narrative start to change. And you mentioned Pat Surtain, and I just think that he was such an underrated hire, and folks wondered, like, how would he recruit? How would he be able to come into the college level where he hadn't coached before and be able to recruit and attract talent? And his recruiting pitch is honestly one of the best in the country from a development standpoint. I think that we as fans sometimes think like, oh, well, if they haven't landed, you know, X number of five stars or put 10 guys in the league at the college level, then, you know, they're not, you know, who it's kind of cut out for, who we should have in. And that's just not the case at all. Mike Norvell may have found like the best hidden gem ever in Pat Surtain. And he, in year one, certainly looks to be paying dividends. Honestly, at this point, if your DB class was done and you didn't get Patterson or Howard, you still have one of the most ridiculous DB classes in a while, landing two guys inside the top 20. Again, Bama doesn't have that. Georgia can't claim that right now. And if he adds to it, it just takes it up a notch. And so I love what they're doing back there in the secondary. I love what we're hearing, and we'll talk about camp here in just a minute, but I love what they're doing back in the secondary right now with the development of Conrad Hussey and Edwin Joseph and Kenton Kirkland and Quindarius. Yeah, I think there are a lot of good things happening in that secondary. And you can talk about DBU. Every school is going to use a different metric to say why they really are DBU or aren't, or this, that, and the other. But I know this. When you look at the greatest defensive back of all time coming out of Tallahassee, Florida, and then you look at the best two defensive backs right now in college, both being from Florida State and then everything in between, I'm still going to ride with the Noles on this, but it seems like it's getting back toward that way. So Pat Surtain, massive shout out. The battle's in, massive shout out. Mike Norvell, big shout out. And believe that Zaquan Patterson is announcing on the 26th. That's Saturday. I need him to do that in the afternoon. Got a 5-year-old's birthday party on Saturday morning that my wife does not want to see me on my phone a ton during. So let's make that an afternoon thing if we can, Zaquan. If it's going to be Florida State, if it's anybody else, morning would be great so that I can be at the party and focusing on real life things. But if it's going to be Florida State, let's go after like 1 p.m. if possible. So, all right, let's give some love real quick to Garnet & Gold, and then we'll go on here to our next subject. But GarnetAndGold.com, you can go use the code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, to get 15% off of your order. Make sure that you guys are laced up, threaded up, geared up, ready to go for the season. I ordered from Garnet & Gold on Tuesday. My package was delivered on Friday. Incredibly quick shipping. I think, you know, ordered Tuesday, processing Wednesday, shipped out on Thursday, got it on Friday. So can't beat that. You got 2 weeks till the game starts. You need to get your order in now. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, for any FSU gear, merchandise, any items you're looking for. They will get you taken care of. Next up, let's talk a little bit about this scrimmage. Let's talk a little bit about some depth chart thoughts, and then we will go on and get this going. Yeah, Harlan's been hyping in the bottom, but anybody can take Brad's spot down there on the bottom if anybody wants to take over Brad's. We went back away from the stuff in the corners. I thought that I just didn't like the way that looked. So anyway, Brad, you're our leader for today, even though you've done nothing. So, all right, scrimmage thoughts. Okay, Richie, I feel like this scrimmage, I was kind of told before the scrimmage happened, it wasn't going to be like one of those all-out, drag-out, knockdown battles where you've just got like things, you know, kind of going crazy and guys just – I just think this team knows so much about what they have and who they are. Not that – I don't want to, you know, confuse that with any kind of a lack of effort, but I just don't think they're – like there's so many guys in non-contact stuff right now, whether it be verse, you know – obviously quarterbacks, you think about wide, some of the wide receivers, Benson, some different guys there that I think that at this point, it's about just kind of knowing who you are and being able to roll with that. I think it's really encouraging when you hear Mike Norvell get out of a scrimmage and the second scrimmage of fall and just say like, hey, I'm really confident in the two deep here at Florida State. I feel really good about the roster that we have, about the guys that we have lining up in the two deep, and we're good to go. We're ready to roll. And I think that that is something that we don't always get. Like there's usually a lot of questions coming out of fall that are like, hey, we'll find out game one. We'll see how they play. We'll see who steps up. We'll see who's able to make that difference. And that's just not the case this time. And maybe that's expected with as much production is returned at 89%, number one in the country as far as production coming back. But still, for there to just for Mike Norvell to come out and there's not a, you know, remember Jimbo used to like slow play stuff and be like, ah, well, practice wasn't very good today. And I think he was like lying about half that stuff. But you remember he used to like slow play the heck out of it? And Mike's not doing that. Mike is just 100%. I know there's any like right or wrong way to like talk about your team. But Mike's like, no, like this is a confident group, and we know this is a good group, and we know this is a really good team, and we're going to be really good. And, you know, does that mean you go 15-0? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I hope. But I think that just the confidence that Mike's projecting coming out of this means so much more than really a lot that we've ever seen. And I think coaches try to be bullish. Remember when we had Mark Krikorian on, and he came out and said, like, hey, this is not a rebuilding year.
He called a shot.
Yeah, this is not a year that we're going to, you know, try to hide any high. I mean, I feel like it's kind of what Mike's doing. You know, Mike didn't have the number one team in the country at that point, but I do think that Mike very much understood, hey, this is going to be a really good team. So, all right, let's play that super chat. And Richie, I want to hear your thoughts on fall camp.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Noles win. Noles win.
Cowboy Klig, K-L-I-G. I hope, maybe I'm saying that right. Thank you all for the news and go Noles. So what you thinking, Richie?
Yeah, man, it's one of those things where you think of Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, schools like that, right? They're not worried about fall camp previews, right? Because they know what they have. And the other 98% of the 130 plus college football teams in the country are looking at position battles and all the minor things. In Florida State, for the first time in a long time, is not in that position. We feel good where we're at. We're ready. I think if Mike Norvell was given a call today and said, hey, do you want to play LSU tomorrow? He would say, hell yes, he would love to play that game tomorrow. This Florida State team is ready. Obviously, there's bodies that are banged up and different things that we can and cannot get into. But man, this Florida State team is ready for this season. And this month of September is going to be so exciting because, man, 2-2, season's over as far as goals go, right? 4-0. I'm buying plane tickets. I'm booking hotels, TJ. I don't know about you, but yeah, it's extremely exciting from a Florida State, if you're a Florida State fan, from the standpoint, because this team has a lot going for them. They're probably the oldest team in the country. If you go by average age, you'd think this is BYU guys, you know, married with mortgages and 401ks and all that nonsense. But man, this team truly does have a chance to do something special. And the only thing I care about, TJ, as far as fall camp goes, do not give me a significant injury. That's all I care about, because I'm excited 2 weeks from today, almost to the hour, right? We are going to be at Camping World Stadium 2 weeks and an hour and 4 minutes from now, and we are kicking off against LSU, and I cannot wait. But yeah, fall camp is exciting to me because I love to hear the updates, but I'm more excited to hear this team is healthy and ready to go 2 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So you mentioned injuries. Let's get to some of this. Some people have asked different questions. Get down or lay down. Hearing great things.
Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
He took it by a penny. Hearing great things about Glenn. Love the contact. It's pronounced click. Sorry, click. I thought that was a G. It's hard to see. My eyes are bad. So, all right, awesome. Good things about Brock Glenn. Yeah, let's talk about some of the depth chart thoughts. Man, I don't know if Brock Glenn is like your QB2 like right now. I think, you know, if Jordan was to go down or Florida State was to get up by 30, I do think you would probably see Tate game one. But later in the year, I think they really like Brock Glenn, right? Like, I'm not going to make any projection like, oh, by week 80, he's going to be your backup. But I think they really like what they have in Brock Glenn, so much so that I know there's a lot of concern about like who takes over for Jordan next year when he's not here. I think that there's a confidence that Brock could be ready, and just in case Luke's not week one in Ireland. So I think they really like what they have with Brock there. Also, you know, just on the injury front, I'm hearing good things about where Robert Scott is at. I do think he's going to be ready to go. I think he probably ends up starting for the Noles based on some of the things that I'm hearing. I'm excited about that. I think your offensive line is probably some combination of Rob Scott at left tackle, Bless Harris on the right side, and then a middle three of some three of the four of Smith, Roddick, Byers, and Big Meech. That'd probably be my guess there. I don't know who would kind of be the odd man out. I cannot see a situation where Byers is not starting. I think that he will be in there, and I think that Scott's going to be ready to go, so I expect him to be starting at left tackle. So I will see. I think you've got almost a good problem there on the offensive line with as much talent as they've got, but that would probably be, you know, if I had to pick it today, it'd be something like Scott, Roddick, Smith, Byers, Harris would probably be my guess. If I'm wrong on that, that means somebody else kind of stepped up and took it, or maybe I misread it by like a player, but I think you're going to have at least 80% on that. On the other side of the ball, I really do think there was some concern around Verse. I think all of that is gone. I think Jared Verse is completely ready to go. Heard some rumors, heard some different things on, you know, why he may have been not practicing for about a week. I don't think it's anything that Florida State was concerned about, and it seems like he's back out there kind of full go now. Non-contact, but I think that's more so to just keep anything freak accident from happening. I don't think that's like, oh, he's dealing with something. I think he's 100% ready to go, and I expect him to be ready to go for LSU. Fabian Lovett is another one that a lot of people ask about. I think Fabo plays. I don't know if he's playing 80 snaps, but I think that's a luxury that Florida State has, having Fisk and Farmer and some other guys at that defensive tackle position that they can rotate in and out pretty frequently. They like their depth on the defensive line. And so I expect Fabo to be in, to make an impact. You know, if he's ready to go, I would expect him to start. I'd expect it to be Fabo and Farmer starting the game. I mean, I could see Fabo and Fisk. I could see Fisk and Farmer. So I think that Fabo would get the start just because of his, you know, kind of seniority, kind of the respect. But I think they will absolutely shuffle a ton of those guys in and out and have them playing a ton because they just have that luxury. And, you know, we've seen the stuff with Daryl Jackson, whether it be Governor DeSantis, whether it be Congress, whether it be a U.S. senator, whether it be the CFO of the state of Florida. It seems like they're still pushing there. They're still petitioning. Looks like North Carolina's kid might have some good news coming. So we'll see if anything comes back out with Jackson or not. I'm honestly still not super optimistic. I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy on that, but I just don't have a lot of confidence in the NCAA doing something right. And then, Richie, last thing I got, I know I've been going for a while here. I think that at this point there's still a lot of concern or a lot of conversation around who would be your starting corners. I think that if today was LSU, I actually have heard some things that maybe I'll share in the Discord a little bit later, that Cypress might be closer to your starter at this point. And then, you know, we'll kind of see what happens with the other two. But I think Renardo Green, Jarian Jones going to make pretty big impacts. And I wouldn't be surprised if both of those guys started and, Cypress came off the bench and played a ton, like played like 60% of the snaps with three guys. I think you can rotate quite a bit. So excited to see that. I don't know if there's any other real questions. Sounds like kicking's been a lot better. I don't know if there's any other real questions around depth chart, because I think that we kind of know what we've got. So, all right, Shane.
Put a smile on your face. Okay, because Florida State, if we going to do it then, we do it big. Let's go, baby.
See here, this – We need to have an 11-1 kind of year. We have an opportunity to reestablish long-term structural advantages on the field and get dominant again. Yeah, I mean, I think Florida State does have a phenomenal chance to go out and do some pretty special things this year. If you were to go 10-2 and you beat Clemson in the ACC championship, I was actually chatting with Andy Staples, shout out On Three's newest edition, the other day. And he said, just because the college football player has never done it, there's no reason that if Florida State like loses those first two games really close and then comes out and blows everybody else out and wins the ACC championship going away from Clemson, that they couldn't make it. I'm not necessarily predicting that that will happen, but he said, don't be shocked if the playoff does something like that. You know, like the way they put TCU in last year, even though they lost their conference championship, I think that, you know, wouldn't be shocked if they did anything too crazy. But anyway, Richie, going back to depth chart, fall camp, all those things, anything else standing out to you in a major way or anything else that you're excited about there?
Yeah, nothing really to talk about. I think, you know, the offensive line is pretty solidified. You know, there's some battles going on, but you're looking at eight guys that are going to take all the snaps, right, for the most part. The skill positions, quarterback, there's no concerns there. Defensive line is going to be absolutely stout. Linebackers, you'd like to, like, one more guy step up, but we'll see what happens. And as you mentioned, that quarterback, you know, Jerrion Jones, Ronald Green, and Fentrell Cypress, that's a great problem to have, man. If those are your guys and you're like, we need to pick two of them, man, that's awesome. Every single team in this country, minus one or two or three teams, would say, I want that problem, like, to have to pick between those guys. I think Ronaldo Green's your probably most consistent guy. I do expect Fentrell Cypress to start. I think Jerrion Jones, to your point, TJ, will play a lot. Those three, I think, will rotate in and out a massive amount, and I'm super excited. And yeah, the depth chart, the good thing about a roster with the age and experience that Florida State has, there's not a whole lot of guesswork going on. It's not like, you know, next year when we have this conversation, it might be a little different because we're going to have a lot of guys depart to the NFL and whatnot. But right now, we know what Florida State is. We know what we have. We know the talent. We know the players. And I cannot wait until toe hits leather. Shout out Gene Deckerhoff again. But, man, I am excited for this LSU game in 2 weeks here in Orlando.
14 days. We're 2 weeks and an hour away from kickoff. Excited to get there. Excited to get after it. I'm also hearing – last thing I had on that, and then we'll give Graham Coe some love and go on to our next segment. But – last thing I'm hearing on that is I think Winston Wright is going to start in the slot. I know there's been a lot of questions.
Really?
There. You know, Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, those are obvious one and twos. Winston Wright starting in the slot is something that I think people would be really, really excited to see. And I do think if he's back at 100%, he's a weapon that people aren't even talking about in this offense. Everyone talks about Jordan. Everyone talks about Jaheim Bell. Everyone talks about Trey Benson and obviously your two big guys out at wide receiver, but Winston Wright at full go in the slot makes this offense just, I don't know. It goes from like silly to like stupid. Just, you know, it goes to a point of just not even being, you know, it's like the Warriors, right? When they got KD and it, you know, other teams just looking around like, seriously? Like how, you know, what you already won the most games in, you know, friend, you know, NBA history last year, and you just added KD. So anyway, yeah, and that doesn't include like how Destin Hill seems to be sounding like he's doing really, really well. You know, Biscuit and Morlock and just it is a embarrassment of riches on the offensive side of the ball. And I certainly want the defense to be good, but I think we could probably just outscore a ton of teams here. So all right, let's do Dane's comment, and then we'll give some love to Graham Coe. Go ahead.
You're a recruit, and you ain't going to Florida State. What are you doing?
Disagree. No two-loss team has ever made the college football playoff, and no ACC team will gain the benefit of the doubt to be the first. It would certainly come out of the SEC due to the bias. Yeah, so, yeah, I don't think it'd be likely. I'll say that. I don't think that it's like, oh, we're a slam dunk at that point. I do think that the Big 12 champion is probably going to have a couple of losses. I think that the Pac-12 champion, whether that be Oregon or USC, I think those teams are going to beat up on each other and probably have a couple of losses. And so I think those two conferences are probably out of it. So I think that if you found yourself in a situation where you lost to LSU by three and then you lost to Clemson by three and you're still hovering around sixth, seventh, and then you know by the end of the year – and you go into that ACC championship and you're able to beat Clemson's doors in, could you sneak into that fourth spot? I mean, yeah, I'm talking like 10-15%. I don't think it's like a great possibility. But, yeah, I think there's a chance. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's very unlikely, but could it happen? Absolutely. Especially if Clemson already has another loss. Say Clemson's lost a game along the way. And so then you jump ahead of them. You know, if Clemson's undefeated, it's unlikely. But if Clemson already has another loss, then you go and represent the ACC as the ACC champion. Again, very unlikely, but I don't think it's a 0%. You would need some chaos, right? And that's probably the biggest thing. Kind of need the SEC West to beat up on each other and Georgia to just run the table and things like that. So we'll see. let's just win. Let's just go 12-0 and then it won't matter.
So, exactly.
All right. Grahamco, thegrahamco.com. Listen, they have upgraded their gummies. They've got both the Delta 8. Dane, thank you for the love there. My second favorite Dane ever. They've got both the Delta 8 and the Delta 9 gummies. Make sure that you check them out. Thegrahamco.com. Use TJ25 at checkout for 25% off. Make sure you get those blue raspberry gummies or the green apple. Those are some of my favorites. TheGrahamco.com, TJ25 for 25% off. All right, Richie, we talked about this beforehand. Let's jump right into it. Oh, man, lost my notes. Where are we at here, Harlan?
We're looking at the toughest games on the schedule.
No. Let's do this. Biggest concern versus biggest confidence versus LSU. What are you most confident in for Florida State, and what's your biggest concern about LSU? You want me to go first? I sprung this on you. I didn't tell you we were doing this before. You want me to go first?
You did spring this on me. I'll go first. I don't mind. Okay. You know, I can exercise here.
So probably smart to go first.
But my goodness, man, my biggest concern is a huge question mark. Mason Smith, man. Where is he health-wise? Is he ready? Is he back to being that guy? Because if he is, I like our offensive line. I think we're going to be very good. But he's the guy we're going to have to double. If he truly is what I think he's going to be towards the end of the season. And again, that goes back to my point where I think Mike Norvell would love to line it up tomorrow and play this game if he could. So that's my biggest concern. My biggest confidence, just the offense as a whole, TJ. Like, take away the run, take away the pass. You pick your poison. You have an elite top 10, at worst top 5, in my opinion, quarterback in the country. Running back who will be a top 3-round pick in the NFL draft. And then you have Keon Coleman, and then you have Johnny Wilson. Like, the offense as a whole is my biggest confidence in not just this game, but the season, and I cannot wait to be there. But, yeah, I'd say Mason Smith is my biggest concern right now, because – if he is what we know he could be, he's a problem. I don't care how good this offensive line is.
Yeah, he's probably mine too. Mine is kind of the same idea, right? Like the ability to block their pass rush, right? Like if that's Harold Perkins, if that's Mason Smith, right? Like it is. I like our offensive line. I was just high on him earlier. I do think that Mason Smith is kind of an X factor. We talk about Jaheim Bell being an X factor. I think Mason Smith is, I'm sorry, I think Harold Perkins is as well. So that's certainly a concern for me. I would like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Harold Perkins doesn't just do some weird X factor crap and beat us by himself, which I don't think any one guy is going to, you know, but like, I don't need him to have a strip sack, you know, fumble, you know, recovery, or you remember Jermaine did that against Clemson a couple years. Like he is able to do that at any point, right? Like these aren't the weak Florida defenders that, like, you know, Jordan Travis is throwing off his back at any given point. Like LSU's got some dogs, you know. And so, yeah, Harold Perkins is probably my biggest concern. I think that if we limit him or keep him pretty contained, I feel like we're in pretty good shape there. My biggest confidence is our wide receivers and skill guys against their secondary, and I just, you know, we can be repetitive or not, but I don't know how anybody in this country guards us. And so that is where I feel really good. Another one for me is Jared Verse. You know, just as much as we're concerned about their pass rush, I think they're probably pretty concerned about, you know, a top 5 pick in Jared Verse getting after their guy too. That's probably the other side of mine. I do want to, you know, want to make sure that we cover Jaden Daniels fairly well, whether that's a Deloach spy or whatever. I do want to make sure that he's not taken off and running, because I'm way more scared of his legs than I am his arm. So hopefully it doesn't prove me to be an idiot by me saying that. But those are mine. I'm concerned, but not in the way of like, oh man, I'm scared to death. Like, what in the world's going to happen type thing.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where like it is a true coin flip game where you don't know. Like, LSU's good. They're talented. They probably do have more NFL talent than you. But I think Florida State has the better college talent this year for 2023 alone. I cannot wait. It is going to be a phenomenal game. And we're just 14 days away. Or like you said, TJ, I cannot wait. And luckily for me, it's about 8 miles down the road from my house. So I will definitely be there.
Excited for it. All right, let's give some love to my friends over at Smoothie Time in Tallahassee, and then we'll get through the rest of the show and get out of here. Smoothie Time signed Joshua Farmer. Excited to have Josh Farmer back in Tallahassee. We know there were some concerns around that earlier in the spring, but they are working with Josh Farmer. Make sure you swing by Smoothie Time and pick out your favorite from their tantalizing smoothie range. Can elevate your smoothie game by incorporating the Pure Pump Energy Powder, the ultimate catalyst for pushing your workouts to new heights while feeling phenomenal. When you grab that Pure Pump Energy Powder, you both support Josh Farmer and the Boys and Girls, the Big Bend Boys and Girls Club of Tallahassee. Make sure that you're giving back to not only the kids, but you're helping Josh Farmer as well. Smoothie Time is on East Capitol Circle Southeast, right next to the Beef O'Brady's. Make sure that you go check them out today. My favorite smoothie is the Sarai Surprise. So that would be what I would say to go and grab. Like I said, 1208 Capitol Circle Southeast, Suite B, right next to the Beef O'Brady's in Tallahassee. All right, Richie, we're winding down here. Thank you guys for your patience with us as we continue to get through this show. But all right, let's skip this and let's go on. Harlan, we'll go to the last one. Let's rank FSU's games from easiest to hardest, Richie. This is what I'm excited about. Oh, we got a super chat. Let's go with this one.
Touchdown, Florida State! Touchdown, FSU!
FSU 6-10 wins came against first-year head coaches. Impressive laugh emoji. 2-19 versus ranked teams since 2017. Norvell is 1-6 versus ranked teams. You're not a top 10 team. You're not beating LSU or Clemson. My favorite thing about that comment, thank you for the $10, is they're probably a Florida fan or a Miami fan whose team went under 500 last year. It's awesome to see people donate money under a burner account. And so we read it on air. Congratulations. Florida State's been a bad team for the last 4 or 5 years. If that's your breaking news today, then congratulations for breaking it to us. So you're not – Dane's still our leader because Dane's was positive. And they were both 10, I think. So shout out to Dane for retaining his spot. All right, Richie, if you're ranking our games from easiest to hardest, we shared these with each other beforehand. I'm not going to break any news here today, but we both have our last game as North Alabama. But then there's some controversy. Our easiest game of the year, North Alabama. And then we have a few ACC teams in the same order. But I'll just spill the beans. I've got... You have Virginia Tech, then Syracuse, then Boston College, like increasing in difficulty. So Virginia Tech at home, then Syracuse, then at Boston College. I have the Southern Miss game in there as the 11th most difficult. Why do you have Southern Miss after those three ACC? You've got an away trip to Boston College as easier than Southern Miss. Walk me through this.
Yeah, man. As someone who went to Florida State and has lived through Monday Labor Day games against Miami, which was typical during my times, 2006 to 2009. A short week is a problem. Like it really is in Southern Miss. So I think that's the biggest reason for my, conclusion here is that it's a short week. You have, instead of 7 days, you have 6 days to prepare. And I think Southern Miss is a quality football program. I think Florida State should still win handily. But at the same time, that could be problematic. And that's my main reasoning is because of the short week.
I get that. I just think there's a difference when you look at like the ACC lines, the ACC depth. So I'm going Southern Miss next to last. But then we get to some more games where you have Duke as your 7th most difficult game. Let's break these three up because it gets kind of boring after this next one. But you have Duke, and then Florida's more challenging, and then Miami's more challenging. Now, I agree with you that Miami's more challenging than Florida, but I have Duke ahead of both of those teams. So is it just the rivalry?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's the rivalry aspect. And honestly, TJ, I don't know what Florida's going to be this year. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, what are they going to be? This is a team that lost to Vanderbilt last year that was not any good at all. They have talent. And I just don't know what to expect from Florida. I think going to the Swamp, like, and Florida State fans may not want to hear this, but the Swamp is actually quite an intimidating environment. I've been there many times for this game, and I think that will be very tough. But I think Miami has more talent right now. Despite the game being in Doak, it's going to be a tough game, and I'm excited for it. I think Florida State wins both of them. But at the same time, man, it's tough. Duke is one of those games that they have a phenomenal coach and, not quite the talent that Florida State has or any other top-level team in the ACC has. But, man, they could cause a problem. So that's why I have Duke up there. But I definitely think Miami has more talent. But Florida, man, going to the Swamp is never an easy task, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like us against both those teams. For some reason, Duke worries me a little bit more. Maybe it's just because they're better coached than both Miami and Florida.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because, I'm just low on both Florida and Miami this year. But, okay, then we're the same. We have Wake and then at Pitt, which I think we'd all agree there. And then we'll argue on this and move on. I have LSU as the tougher of the two games. You have at Clemson, which I can understand because on the road, I don't have LSU as like leaps and bounds better, or anything like that. But I do think that LSU is a slightly – I'll give my argument, then you can go. I do think LSU is a slightly better team. They have a slightly more proven quarterback. The game isn't in Doak. So if it was in Doak and it was the full like 3 points and 3 points, like I could see that side. But it is neutral site. I'd expect it to be 50-50 crowd. So I'm not giving as much like home field advantage there. So I think that, saw a comment. Yeah, I've got LSU's quarterback is slightly better than Clemson's. Yeah, ours is better than both. So I agree with that. So
absolutely. Yep.
But yeah, I just think LSU's just slightly better. I said this on Twitter too, and because Clemson fans, some of them don't. Whatever. Y'all have been really nice to me on this channel, so I actually won't say anything negative. But I do think that Clemson has taken a slight step back. And they're like, how could you take a step back and win the ACC? And I was like, well, 3 years ago, you were winning national titles. So, like, that's how. You're still the best in the ACC. Maybe. We'll see this year. But you certainly are not what you were 5-6 years ago. And so I think it's fair to say that Clemson's kind of coming back down to earth to be a really good, consistent top 10 team, as opposed to just the greatest team, like when Lawrence was there and Watson was there and stuff like that. I don't think that's me like casting a lot of shade on Clemson. And I also think Florida State's rising back up to be a consistent top 10 team. And so I just think the teams are closer than they've been. I like LSU a little bit more. If I was picking between LSU and Clemson, like I think LSU and Clemson at Clemson would be like a pick 'em. And then at LSU, I think it'd be like LSU minus like 4 or 5. Would just kind of like, that was kind of the way that I saw it in my mind. And so I've got LSU as the slightly tougher game for Florida State to start this season, but I'm here for you to tell me why I'm wrong.
Yeah. And again, I definitely think LSU has more NFL top end talent than Florida State does, but I think Florida State has better college made ready to go players for this specific season, and we'll see what happens. And Jaden Daniels, I'm just not sold on him, and I'll probably get clipped on this. If LSU beats us, I'm going to go viral, most likely. I just don't believe in Jaden Daniels. And a lot of the hesitation on Clemson is with Cade Klubnik. I think that guy's a superstar. I think he's going to be phenomenal, and that's part of the reason why I think, I don't know if he'd be better than Jordan Travis or not this year, but there's a chance he's a lot better. And not because Jordan Travis isn't good, but because he's that dude. And, I feel better about us playing him in September than I would if we were playing him in late October, November. So I love that aspect of things. But, man, those two games, that's our whole season, TJ. If we go 1-1, we have a lot of hope in the rest of the season. If we go 4-0, oh my goodness. Like I said, we're buying plane tickets. We're booking hotels. We're doing all that good stuff. But if we go 2-2, our season is over, because that's what our expectations are. And credits Mike Norvell, because now we are at the point where Florida State, we have those expectations. Like last year, you know, I wanted to win 9 games, maybe 10, and we got that. But this year's different. We want to go to the playoff. I don't know about you, TJ, and we can spend a quick minute on this. Charlotte or bust. If we don't make it to Charlotte, this season is a failure, in my opinion. I don't know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, people talk about expectations, and I think the like playoffs or bust are
egregious.
Yeah, that's a little high for me when you consider that the team won 5 games 2 years ago. So playoffs or bust seems a little egregious to me. Look, you're going to be an underdog twice in September, and if you lose those 2 games, it's going to be disappointing. But, you know, the season's not per se over, right? You still got a lot to play for as far as the ACC goes. You know, if I offered you right now, hey, you're going to lose those 2 games by like 3 points, but you're going to win every other game. You're going to beat your rivals heads in. You're going to get revenge in the ACC championship. You're going to go.
I'm in. Sign me up. Sign me up, TJ.
You got a 5% chance to make the playoff, and you're going to go to a New Year's Six Bowl and beat some other SEC team, right? Like beat Alabama or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm probably taking that. Like if you gave me all that, you know, kind of option. Now that said, I mean, but you don't play the game on paper, right? Like you want to go out and you want to see if you can go win in game one. And I'm going to pick, I mean, I'll tell you, spoiler alert, we'll be back here a week from Wednesday or Tuesday maybe. And I'm going to pick the Noles to beat LSU because I do truly think they're a better team. And so, I agree though. If you don't make it to Charlotte, if you did all this and you couldn't even make it to the ACC championship, and I really think you need to win it. Now, Clemson beats your brains in or something in Clemson, and you know, they're 12-0 going into Charlotte, you know, and then they beat you in a close game there. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think you just have
to get to Charlotte.
You got to get to Charlotte. You got to start competing for conference championships again. And we all want the playoff. Shoot, I want to go 15-0. Don't get me wrong. Just as much as everybody else does. But I do think that, you know, getting to Charlotte has to be the goal. You know, just because the troll said it, I will say this. The narrative around LSU just get better and better every year. Every week, you know, got better toward the end of the year. I don't know how many times we could talk about this, but you don't get better and better and better throughout the year and then score 13 points against Arkansas and the very next week lose to Texas A&M by 15 when you were a 10-point favorite and then get 50 points dropped on your head by Georgia. So I don't, you know, that narrative that – now I do think LSU beat Alabama last year, and a lot of people thought that was really, really impressive, and I think that was a great win. But I don't think that that win truly means they got better and better and better and better and better and better as the year went on because they sucked at the end of the year. And so, that you know, maybe that's just – you know, I don't know how many times I have to say that on this show. I'm not talking to the 314 of you guys that are, you know, have a brain cell or two rubbing against each other. But the other guy that – I continue to say that week after week after week. LSU didn't get better. As the year went on, they sucked at the end of the year. They beat, you know, like they lost to Texas A&M. They almost lost to Arkansas. They got their heads beaten by Georgia. To be fair, everyone else did. But, I mean, they lost to Georgia by as much as Florida did. So, yeah, LSU didn't get better and better and better as the year went on. I mean, they nearly lost to Florida. So did we, to be fair. But LSU and Florida State were very similar teams last year. The better team won in New Orleans. And we'll see if the better team wins or not in Orlando. Whew. All right, that's all I got for that one, Richie. Do you want to talk? You want to talk conference realignment real quick, and then we'll get out of here. Sorry, Harlan, I switched it up on you going with that one. But listen, so August 15th has come and gone and passed. Obviously, Florida State has not announced their intentions to leave the ACC. It sounds like the ACC continues to push for a vote to happen or for a vote to be approved for other teams to join the conference. There's the talk around Cal. There's the talk around Stanford. A lot of moving pieces there. From what I've been told, I don't believe that Florida State and Clemson and maybe some others want any teams to be added for a myriad of reasons. Number one, just being it makes it harder for this conference to dissolve. I think if you look at what the Pac-12 did and the fact that they wanted, or when their two big teams left, UCLA and USC, they should have started adding teams for stability. And that's what the ACC is trying to do. I think that Florida State wants the ACC to eventually dissolve. And so that's why Florida State, Clemson, and others are not voting that way. So doesn't sound like we're leaving just yet, but hopefully leaving somewhat soon.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to say here. You know, I think the hope among the Florida State fan base was that we would make that announcement before the August 15th deadline this year. Didn't happen. You know, things are getting very political with Condoleezza Rice, a Stanford grad, and George W. Bush, a SMU grad, you know, lobbying to get them in the ACC. I don't care. Florida State's not going to be in the ACC in the next 2 to 3 years. So I just don't have a whole lot of interest in it. And I'm more interested in where Florida State will actually land. I don't know. Like, I thought for sure it'd be the Big Ten. Now I'm flipped. You know, I think it's a coin flip, the ACC or the SEC or the Big Ten. We'll see what happens, but I just really don't care what the ACC does. I'm disgusted with this conference entirely.
Richie, but did you know that we had both in men's lacrosse last year, we had both finalists from the ACC. Doesn't that make you feel good? All right. I think that Florida State, I told you guys this, and I never said that I thought we were announcing anything before the 15th. I always said I thought it would be after the 15th. I think I got a little bit confident that some things might go down, but I never got above 50%. I always thought it would be after August 15th. I will tell you, I think it's before the end of this calendar year that we that we make an announcement. But I am very confident that 2024 will be our last year in the ACC. Probably a few reasons for that. And we talked about these on Friday. So if you were here, don't tune out on us, but we talked about this on Friday. I think that the fact that the SEC schedules were already set for 2024 is something that was going to play a factor. I think that the renovations that are going to happen to Doak next year, where part of the stadium isn't usable, played a little bit of a factor in going to a new conference. I also think that the Ireland trip and the Notre Dame trip. I think those are games that Florida State wants to happen, not wants to happen at the detriment of not joining another conference. But I think that all of those things together kind of made it make sense. Money goes down, the buyout goes down, the grant of rights is, you know, you owe a little bit less because it's one less year of rights or two less years of rights. So anyway, I think that 2025, Florida State will be in a new conference. If I had to predict it today, I'd say it's more than likely the SEC. I think that if it was going to happen before August 15th, it was going to be the Big Ten. I think that why they waited, why that this is going to happen afterwards is because it's going to be the SEC. That's my take. We'll see. Either way, as long as we get out of here, I'm pretty happy with it. So shout out the soccer team for beating Texas A&M the other night. They play again tonight against number nine TCU, something like that. Top 10 matchup. Richie, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I'm pissed. I did not realize they were playing in Orlando on Friday night against UCF, and I missed that because that would have been a great game.
That was like 2 weeks ago. I think that was like a week.
Was that long?
Yeah, they were at Texas A&M last week or on Friday.
Either way, but no, I'm excited. Again, 2 weeks from today, go get your tailgate tickets today. It is going to be a blast. We are a short walk from the stadium. If you were there for the Oklahoma game and the Cheez-It Bowl, you know what I'm talking about. It is going to be such a good time. I can't wait, TJ. I'm going to have a blast. I'm with our producer, Harlan. I'm playing golf with him Saturday morning. I just cannot wait for this game. Football season is almost here, everybody.
Yeah, we'll be back next Sunday, and we will be talking about football that had happened the day before. Navy and Notre Dame kick us off on Saturday. Love that game's at 2:30. The birthday party will be over. So shout out the fans of other teams in this chat. I know the rivals, the UGA, the LSU folks that hang out. Appreciate you guys for, you know, you guys woke up the monster. So you'll see kind of what comes down the pike from Florida State these next few months on the trail and then on the field as well. Listen, Richie's right. If you're coming to LSU game, hit the description. Come hang out with us at the tailgate. Going to have a blast out there working on it. Actually have secured some stuff for it, some exciting stuff going on this week. So make sure that you're out there hanging out with us. It's on Eventbrite. We look forward to seeing you guys. We got some recruiting questions here at the end. I'm not going to go through them now, but I will tell you, we'll put a recruiting video out this week, just where Florida State stands with different recruits. Some of the guys you guys are mentioning, McCoy, Jones, Trader, Patterson, Smith, there's the big one. We'll talk about all that stuff in a video this week. Thank you guys for hanging out. Harlan, thank you for your work behind the scenes. Richie, it was a pleasure. We'll be back next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Go Noles.